Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. This is the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, episode 57. Welcome back to the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, or you're in the process maybe of launching your own startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business, so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. As the new year quickly approaches, we hear the annual recommendations for planning our year ahead. Every magazine and every blog, every podcast, they're all running articles and talking about how to plan for 2015. Although stating long-term goals and planning for their success is really important, I suggest that planning your week every week will put you closer to your desired target when this time rolls around again next year. So this week on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I want to share my 7 steps to a more successful work week. This episode of the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast is brought to you by Entrepreneur Architect Foundations, business forms and checklists for small firm architects. Throughout my 20 years in the profession, and about 16 as a firm owner, I have learned how to build and run a very successful architecture firm. Entrepreneur Architect Foundations is a collection of more than 50 business forms and checklists designed and built specifically for my own firm, Five Cat Studio. And these documents are quite literally the foundation of my success. The mission here at Entrepreneur Architect is to provide inspiration, knowledge, and resources for a successful architecture firm. And what better way to do that than to share my own proven business documents? This collection includes documents from business administration, design development, project management, construction management, sales, and it even has my own proprietary project organizer documents. So whether you're starting a new firm or you've been in business for decades, these documents will help you build a better business. For more information, visit entrearchitect.com/foundations. Monday is the most important day of the week. You know, I love Fridays and I love Saturday and Sundays because I get to spend a lot of time with my kids and my wife. But Monday, from a business point of view, Monday is the most important day of the week. What we choose to do on this day each week will set up our remaining days for success or doom us to a week of frustration. So my 7 steps for a successful work week all happen on Monday. So here are my 7 steps to structure your Monday for a successful work week. So let's get into it. Step number one for Mondays is no Monday meetings. In order to keep my work week productive and manageable, I don't schedule meetings on Monday. This keeps my day open and my time free to properly manage the remaining days of my work week. And I dedicate Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons and Friday mornings. Those days are for meetings. So I actually schedule specific times in my calendar for those meetings, and they don't happen on Monday. You know, one of my favorite authors, one of my favorite speakers, it's really the man who really started me really being inspired about business, is Dr. Stephen Covey and his 7 Habits for Highly Effective People and his book, First Things First. Great books, highly recommend both. You've heard me talk about them before. But he used to share a story about a man working in a forest. And he was very, very busy, struggling to cut down a tree. And he pushed and he pulled and he pushed and he pulled and he pushed and he pulled, each just trying to cut down this tree. And each stroke, the saw got more and more difficult to cut. It wouldn't cut the tree. So another man, after watching his friend working so hard, suggested that maybe the blade of the saw was dull and he needed to be sharpened. And the working man, with a look of disdain on his face, responded, "Sharpen the saw? I don't have time to sharpen the saw. I'm too busy cutting down this tree." Well, you know how that story goes. You know, we need some period of time in our week to sharpen the saw, to take care of the tasks that will make the rest of the week more productive. So if we don't stop to sharpen the saw, we will spend all our time working and making very little progress. We won't be cutting down the tree. We'll just be working. So, you know, I also listened to several podcasts. And recently I was listening to Lewis House on his School of Greatness podcast. And he was interviewing Rory Vaden about his new book, Procrastinating on Purpose. It's on my wish list. I'm looking forward to reading it. But they had a really great conversation. And Rory was sharing his idea for ROTI, which means return on time invested, which is a play on the concept of ROI, which is return on investment, which is a financial term used by investors to calculate how much money they're going to make down the road on their investment they make today. So ROTI, return on time invested, works the same way, but rather with time rather than money. So what are the things we can do, which tasks are the most valuable in terms of time invested, which will save our time later, which will make us most productive later? So what are the things that we can do now to save us time later? That's the idea. And it was a really great discussion between Lewis and Rory. So I'm going to put a link in the show notes for you, so you can listen to that episode. And I recommend that you do. Lewis's podcast is a really great podcast. He talks to a lot of different people, generally an interview show, but he really talks about life in general and performance and performing at all levels, whether it's health or business or just general success. So I highly recommend the School of Greatness podcast. So I'll put a link for that episode. So the first step to a successful work week is no Monday meetings, okay? Because we want to be more productive with the rest of our week. We want to use that time in the rest of the week to become more productive. We want to sharpen our saw on Monday, and we want to work on our return on time invested on that Monday morning or Monday during the day. And so no Monday meetings. Find other times to do those Monday meetings. So number two, this is sort of, it might sound a little strange, but it works for me. Step two is take 10 minutes of quiet. You know, before I start my day on Monday, I close the door to my studio and I sit quietly for 10 minutes. I don't surf the net. I don't check my email. I don't respond to Twitter mentions. I just sit quietly. I use this time as a transition between my morning as dad, when I make breakfast for my kids and get them all on the bus on time, and my week ahead as partner in charge of operations at Five Cat Studio. And these are very different responsibilities. And having a private studio in my home makes for a very convenient commute, but the abrupt change from dad to partner can be really stressful. 10 minutes of uninterrupted quiet lets my mind settle, and it allows me to slowly transition into work. You know, before moving to the new studio, I used my morning drive from Chappaqua to Pleasantville, the Pleasantville studio, as my decompression time. I'd stay off the highway, then I'd take the back roads, and I'd keep the radio turned off. And this quiet time would clear my mind and prepare me for the chaos that was about to happen at the studio every Monday morning. And so now that I don't have that, I sit in my own studio. I come down here and I intentionally, which is really important, and you have to basically make it part of your routine, to stop and just sit quietly. And you know, I really love to learn how to meditate. And that's something on my list. But probably when I get to that point on my list, that this 10 minutes will be 10 minutes that I can meditate. But until then, just sitting quietly, doing nothing for 10 minutes will do just fine. So step two is take 10 minutes in your first thing in the morning between your craziness at home and your soon-to-be craziness at the studio. Take 10 minutes, transition, 10 minutes of quiet. Step two. Step three, scan your email. Is step three. You know, many personal productivity experts will advise you not to review your email first thing in the morning. And I completely understand the intent behind that rule, but in reality, even when we know it's not best to do that, it's the first thing we do. So admit it, you do it too, right? I know you do. I do it. I always say I'm not going to, but my phone's sitting there and I want to see what's going on. So I hit the email. What I do, sort of as a side note, is I don't have notifications turned on. I have to hit the button to get my email. Notifications are terrible for productivity. So turn off all of your notifications. That's just a side tip. But I find it's also important to stay aware of any, you know, potential fires smoldering among our projects. And you know, maybe an urgent message sent by one of our concerned clients can really quickly ignite into an inferno if it's not attended to promptly. So we want to make sure that there's no fires brewing that we can easily put out with a quick response. And I agree, though, addressing each of the 100 plus emails that arrive during the weekend can take up much of my Monday morning, and that time is much better suited to organizing my week ahead. So rather than completing this task first thing in the morning, I'll scan the subjects for potential crises. So I don't check all my email. I just go through it really quickly, try to find any potential crises and deal with those. And if nothing calls for my immediate attention, this takes discipline, because once you're in there, you want to do the whole thing. The discipline is to just scan. And if there's nothing there, then I move on to the next step. And just another side note, one of my goals for 2015 is to delegate more. And I want to delegate more of the things that I should not be doing. And I'm going to do a whole episode on this in 2015, early 2015, because one of my goals is to delegate more. So stay tuned here and over at the blog, because I'm going to talk about that. And when I figure out how to do that, I'm going to report it to you, and I'm going to teach you how to do it as well, because I think delegation is probably the hardest thing to do as an architect, as a small firm architect, but it's probably the most important thing. It's the thing that comes up time and time again at Entrepreneur Architect Academy when we're talking about all different subjects. delegation keeps popping into the conversation and how hard it is to do that. And the people who are doing that are successfully managing their time, and the people who are not are struggling. And so I'm going to delegate more. I'm going to learn how to do that, and I'm going to teach you. But that is a side note. So step three is scan your email. Don't read it, just scan it. Step four is perform a weekly review. So the next task on my list is to perform this review. I review each project and I identify what needs to be completed. I review deadlines and I understand my priorities for each project. So I go through my project list and I understand where the deadlines are. I understand what the status is. And then I go through each project and I understand that. And then I'll review my responsibilities as administrator of the firm, as well as my responsibilities at home as a dad and a husband. So I go through all of my roles and I review what needs to be accomplished. And I identify every item that requires my attention during the coming week. And I add them to my task list. And I include not only the items from my firm, but from my family too. And here at Entrepreneur Architect. So every role is reviewed. So I have a complete understanding of where my time as Mark LePage, no matter what role it is, my time can be best invested. And I got a terrific tool for this. For my weekly review is Nozbe, N-O-Z-B-E. And I use Nozbe to organize all my tasks and easily review them in separate context texts. It allows me to quickly understand the highest priorities and easily integrates my role, every role that I have in my personal life and my business life. It very easily graphically denotes each role and what needs to be done. And so I'll have a link to Nozbe.com in the show notes, so you can check that out at the show notes. So step number four is perform a weekly review. Go through all of your projects and understand what needs to be done in this coming week. Step five is schedule project tasks. So with all my known tasks identified during the last step in my weekly review, I now schedule the top priorities with dates and times. And Nozbe allows me to add dates and deadlines to all my tasks. So during my review, I can easily see which items require my most attention. Although Nozbe has the ability to schedule as well, I like to use my iCloud calendar on my Mac to schedule my weekly tasks. This allows me to see all my tasks on my calendar, color-coded by categories. So my meetings are red and my telephone calls are purple and my project tasks are gray and my administration is light blue and my personal is green. So I can look at my calendar. I could see each of the tasks that need to be done just by looking at the colors. It's very, very convenient to do that. If you go back to episode, I think it's 53 with Dan Hart, he talks about using a calendar and colors by role. So I may actually try that. I may rework my calendar to change my colors from tasks to roles, so I can look at it and I can see where my roles are. Although most of my tasks are role oriented, so it sort of does the same thing. But it's very interesting to hear what Dan has to say about that in episode 53, I think it was. So you can go to entrearchitect.com/episode53 and you can get a link to that. So step number five in my seven steps to a successful work week. Step five is schedule project tasks. So I'm coming up on the last two here. Step six, after I schedule them, I review my email. So now I go back to my email. So here's what I've done so far on my Monday. My step one is to have no meetings. So that's pretty easy. Just make that a policy and don't do that. Step two is to take 10 minutes of quiet. So you got to quiet down and transition. Step three is scan your email real quick. just go through it, really easy. Step 5 is schedule project tasks, and step 6 is to review your, oh, so wait a minute, I'm sorry. I skipped one. Step 4 is to perform your weekly review. Step 5 is to schedule project tasks. And now step 6 is review your weekend email. So I did all those things before I get to my email. So if you start your Monday off with checking your email, you will sit for 2 hours before you do anything checking your email to go through all that stuff. It's just not worth it. So now that I've done all of my tasks, I've now direct my attention back to my email, and I review and handle each message in one of 3 ways. I either delete the message, which accounts for probably 95% of all the messages I receive. Even with my spam filters fully activated, I'm still receiving hundreds of junk. That's why I spend so much time, because you got to go through all those emails to get to the little bits of important emails. Maybe 5 or 10 important emails came over the weekend, even if that, you know, maybe that. So I respond to the email. One of the three things is either delete it, or I respond to the email immediately, or I tag it for my attention later. And any email that's tagged for later is listed on my Noseby and added to my calendar. So it becomes a task that I have to deal with later. If it's quick, I can respond to it quickly, and it's done. And I try to keep my inbox clear of messages, and I formally review my email 3 times a day. So I try to keep inbox zero. You may have heard that term, inbox zero. It's really difficult to do. It is currently not at inbox zero, but it's pretty close. And I also try to stay disciplined to checking my email 3 times a day and not throughout the day. And that's really difficult to do, because when I have my iPhone in hand all the time, I do scan for urgent messages throughout the day, and I'm kind of looking at my email throughout the day. But my discipline is to 3 times a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, once before I head home. That's it. And then if an email comes during the evening, it's not checked or responded to until the next day. But my top priority is always client satisfaction, and a client promptly addressed in a time of crisis or concern is a client who will refer us to their friends when the project is complete. So there's this balancing act that you do. But I think if you can check your email 3 times a day, I think that's certainly prompt enough. I don't think you have to promptly respond within seconds. Also, if you do wait, I find that many of those little problems that are thrown your way resolve themselves if you wait. Either the client will take care of it, or the contractor will take care of it, and then you could respond and you say, okay, what do you need me to do? And they say, oh, we took care of it, don't worry about it. And so very often the things that take up your time may go away because you didn't respond to it very quickly. This, you know, checking my email, like I said, could take hours. So that needs to be scheduled. It needs to be on my calendar because it's a task, and you need to schedule realistic times for your tasks. So that needs to go on there on Monday. Those hours need to be put on there for checking your email, which, you know, is the reason for my goal of delegation and my plans for an assistant in 2015. So I have more time to do the things that I should be doing and not be checking a bunch of spam. So step 6 is review the weekend email. Don't spend your whole day on Monday looking through email. Do the other things that are important first, then hit your email, and then get to step 7. And step 7 on my Monday is review financial reports and manage payables. So every Monday, I review the payables received from the week before. Which are the invoices from my vendors or utilities or service providers. And I add each one of those to my QuickBooks. I use QuickBooks Pro. I am considering switching to cloud-based alternatives. I haven't done that yet. I'm still with QuickBooks Pro for Mac. I'm all Mac here. So I do that. I prepare payments once per month to my vendors, but keeping my software updated With pending payables, I can always see my current financial status of the firm. And so that's really important to be able to see how the firm is doing financially whenever I need to. And before I shut down my QuickBooks, I review my financial statements. So I have a clear understanding of our fiscal health. So I understand where the firm is financially. And knowing where we stand allows me to adjust as required and keeps my stress level down. You know, knowing that where we are, I find that when I don't know where I stand financially, I worry. Even if we have plenty of money, not knowing where it is, I worry. And that puts added stress on me and makes me unhealthy. And so reviewing my financial reports at the beginning of each week starts my week off strong and keeps me focused and keeps the stress away. So that's step 7, review financial reports and manage payables. So step 1, let's review them step by step. Step 1 is no more Monday meetings. And remember to sharpen your saw on that day so you can have a nice productive week. Step 2 is take 10 minutes of quiet. Just sit and be quiet. Don't do anything except sit and be quiet. Step 3 is scan your email. Don't check it all. Just scan it real quick for crises. Make sure that you get that done and get that out of your system. And step 4 is perform a weekly review. So you go through all of your projects step by step. Make sure that you list all your tasks and you know what you need to do for each project. Then step 5 is schedule those tasks. Get those on your calendar and your noseby so you know what needs to be done and you have your whole week scheduled. Step 6 is review your email so you can finally get to your email, go through your email, make sure you schedule that time on your Mondays to have to schedule your to check your email, and so you have the time scheduled to do that. And you also, that's also sort of a psychological thing, so you know that you have time to do that, so you're not so pressured to check it first thing in the morning. Step 7 is review financial reports and manage payables. So get all your payables into your QuickBooks, check your financial reports so you can know where you stand for the week, and you can get rolling. So that's my typical Monday. And obviously, you know, I'm a human being and I'm an architect, so not every Monday runs as smoothly as I make it sound here. You know, this is my goal. And I typically do it, but, you know, occasionally I get meetings on Mondays and occasionally I'll check my email first thing. But the truth is you need to have a system. That's the important thing, is you have to have a system, some sort of routine that starts your week off strong, sort of gets your mind where it needs to be. And I find that when I establish this sort of structure, the unexpected things sort of find their place, you know. When you have some sort of routine and system in place, the unexpected things find their place and the important things get done. I have a better week. And with a properly structured week and organized and manage my Mondays every Monday, I can put my firm in a position to succeed and myself in a position for a happier life with more money and less stress. And you know, so it's really important. Monday is a really, really important day to get the rest of your week right. And so by checking these 7 steps, you could really have a great week. So I have some homework for you. I started homework last week and I'm going to continue it this week. Maybe this will become a regular thing here at the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast. So this week's homework, this next Monday, try step 2. Even if you don't try all the other 6 steps, try step 2. Take the first 10 minutes of your Monday morning and sit down and be quiet. Don't check your email. Don't answer staff questions. Don't do anything. Just sit quietly for 10 minutes before you start your day this next Monday. That's your homework. And let me warn you, it is much harder than you think. Just sit there. 10 minutes seems like eternity when you're sitting there knowing that you have things to do. But it is very, very, very effective. You may even want to try it every day. But that's not your homework. Your homework this week is just this one Monday. Just sit quietly for 10 minutes before you start your day. Step two, check that out and see if you can do it. And I have a question of the week. We also started this last time. I've always kind of asked you questions, but now I'm going to make it a formal question of the week. How do you spend your Monday? Do you have a specific routine each week? Do you do the same thing, or you just kind of show up and kind of dodge the bullets? Please go to the show notes and share your thoughts at entrearchitect.com/episode57. How do you spend your Mondays? If you like this episode, please go to iTunes and leave me a review. Please, please, please do this. This is how you may help me spread the word about Entrepreneur Architect and our mission to become an influential force in the profession. Go to entrearchitect.com/iTunes, or in iTunes, just search for Entrepreneur Architect. You will find me. I know you will. Go do it, please. And just a reminder about Entrepreneur Architect Foundations, business forms and checklists for small firm architects at entrearchitect.com/foundations with an S. entrearchitect.com/foundations. So that's a wrap for today's show. Show notes and a direct link to the download of this episode can be found at entrearchitect.com/episode57. Until next week, my name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.